Well, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to two places, Isaiah chapter 34 and Acts chapter 15. Isaiah 34 and Acts 15. And we have been talking about we've been talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. And today we're talking about the love of the Spirit. And it's been good, and I think that it is appropriate. We spent the first couple weeks talking about how the Holy Spirit is God. Now, how many of you know God is three persons, right? The Trinity. God, one God, three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, okay? None is less important. They are all equal, and they are all God. And it is important for us to understand that the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is more than a feeling. Sometimes I hear people come in and they'll, especially if someone is newer, and they'll be like, I sense something different when I'm here and when we're worshiping, and it's just, I can feel the Lord. How many of you know that's the Holy Spirit ministering to you? And that is the presence. But the Holy Spirit is much more than just a feeling, much more than just a presence, though he is very present. Somebody say amen. We had some work being done, and there were workers in the sanctuary, and they were working on electrical, drywall, all these things. And they were like, I just want to be here as much as I can, because when I'm here, I'm just so at peace. Like, there's just like this calmness, this peace. How many of you know the presence of the Lord is real? Amen. But the Holy Spirit is much more than a feeling. The Holy Spirit is God, and it's important for us to understand that, because if we understand that the Holy Spirit is God, we're going to relate and interact a little bit differently, okay? How many of you know that, you know, if you get an invitation to an event, you sometimes will judge if you're going to go to that event based on the person who is inviting you, right? Sometimes if it's a neighbor that you don't really like and you get invited to a party, you might not be very excited to go than if it was someone like a best friend. Amen. So we just had graduation weekend, and there's all sorts of graduation parties. And, you know, I'm like, I love you all, but there are way too many celebrations to go to this weekend, right? It's exhausting. And so I'll send you a card. I love you. Congratulations. You did wonderful. And so we need to know that the Holy Spirit is God. And so knowing that the Holy Spirit is God makes the fact, think about this, knowing that he is God, it makes the fact that he dwells in you and wants to love you and to be with you, it makes it that much more amazing. Because it is the highest honor to have the Holy Spirit, who is God, want to be in you, to be with you, to lead you. Somebody say amen. Amen. What a privilege it is to do life with the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 34. Before we do, I just want to open with prayer. Let's just join me. Wonderful Holy Spirit. Where would we be without your touch, without your love, and without your joy? Lord, it's in times when we encounter your presence where we understand what David said, take not your Holy Spirit from me, because without you we have nothing. And so, Lord, today we honor you, we worship you as God Almighty. We worship you in this room. We honor you, wonderful Holy Spirit. So come this morning. We yield to you and surrender the best we know how, that you would move as you desire and inflame our hearts with love for Jesus today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, Isaiah 34, starting at verse 16. Isaiah 34. Starting at verse 16, and we will have these up on screen so you can follow along there. But let's read this out loud together. If you have your Bibles, you can read your version, but let's read it out loud together, and let's just fill this room with the word of God this morning. Ready? Go. Search from the book of the Lord and read. Not one of these shall fail. Not one shall lack her mate. For my mouth has commanded it, and his spirit has gathered them. Notice it says, my spirit, everybody say his spirit, has gathered them. Say the Holy Spirit gathers Because the Holy Spirit,
loves.
Listen, the reason you're here today, the reason that you were brought to the Lord Jesus is because the Holy Spirit is in love with you. I was just talking to someone and I was like, do you realize what a miracle it is when people come to the Lord? I mean, just think about this. Some of you have been blessed enough and have had the grace of God on your life that you were brought up in a Christian home. Maybe you had parents that loved the Lord. They brought you to church, right? And so we can take for granted sometimes just how significant it is that you are one of the ones that the Holy Spirit brought to himself. But think about the ones who have broken homes, who are less fortunate, whose maybe family wants nothing to do with God, and yet they're in the room. Can we just recognize what a miracle it is when the Lord gathers people to himself? Amen?
Yeah.
It's significant. You know, I hope that we never get used to, or we treat it as common, people coming to the Lord, people entering into his presence. And when you look around the room during times of worship and you see people looking to the Lord, worshiping, weeping, that we would never take that for granted, that we would never grow accustomed to it, because the move of the Holy Spirit is miraculous. The move of the Spirit is powerful. And the number one goal of the Spirit is to draw people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when they come to him, that they would become like the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. And so we're talking about the love of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit gathers because the Holy Spirit loves. The fact that you are here today is proof that the Holy Spirit loves you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I had you turn to Acts chapter 15. And, you know, it's Father's Day, so I get to take a little extra coffee throughout the message. So, Which means I'm going to talk a little bit faster. I was up late last night emailing colleges with my daughter, and it takes a long time to do that. She's working on some recruitment stuff for lacrosse, and it's going very well. Yay. All right, Acts 15, verse 28 says, "For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us." Okay, so this is the apostles. This is the early days of the church. The church is growing, the church is multiplying, and they were seeking the Lord on a matter. And I want you to notice what they said. We were seeking the Lord, and it says, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Let me ask you, how close do you have to be as a church leadership team to be able to say, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us? Right? There has to be a supernatural togetherness, a unity, a bond, a desire, and an abiding with the Lord to have that level of confidence. And so often in life, we tend to replace it seems good to the Holy Spirit with just natural logic and natural reasoning. Let me tell you something about the presence of the Spirit. Being in an environment where the Holy Spirit is honored and where he is allowed to move, one of the things that takes place in the room is honor. When the Holy Spirit is in the room and we make room for him and we have a place where we can welcome him, it typically has a culture of honor, honor for one another, honor for those in leadership, honor for anointing, because you understand our relationship with the Spirit will be affected one way or another based on how we live our lives. The way that we approach things, the way that we live according to his word, has a direct impact on how the Holy Spirit is able to move and function in our life. I have seen churches, I have a lot of pastor friends, and I am sometimes in shock and awe of how pastors get treated by people in their church, where the church will attack them and use the word as a weapon. But how many of you know the word is not a weapon that is meant to be used against people? The word exposes God's heart, and it is an invitation to understand who he is and the life that he has available to us. But when you don't know the Holy Spirit, how many of you know you can actually use Scripture as a work of the enemy? And you can actually use Scripture to justify stoning a sinner. But that's not the Holy Spirit. That's not the love of God. That's why Paul says the law kills, but the Spirit brings life. And so when you know the Holy Spirit, you recognize the Word of God is not meant to be used against people. There are words that are alive and flow from the heart of God. And so being in an atmosphere that honors the Holy Spirit actually exposes me to the ways of God. And so here are the apostles, and they say, it seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit. Notice they didn't say, well, I had a vision. How many of you love when God gives visions, right? Or someone gives you a word from the Lord. Sometimes we get so used to that. And in fact, the downside of that is many of us will be so apathetic and immobilized until someone gives us a word. But if we wait for that, it doesn't come. But it doesn't say they had a vision. It doesn't say they had a dream. Why were they able to say it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us? It was literally a fulfillment of what Jesus prayed in John 15, that they may know you, that as they abide with you, as they abide in me, that they would know the heart of the Father. It's a fulfillment of John 15, that if his words abide in us, and we abide in him, we can ask whatever we want, and he'll do it to the glory of God the Father. Somebody say amen. Amen. You know, there is the scripture that says, whatever you ask in my name, it will be done for you. And I think that's confusing to believers sometimes because they're like, well, I want a Lamborghini and a seven-figure salary. But I mean, you know, that's not what that scripture is referring to. It's whatever you ask in my name. When you ask according to the will of the Father, you will have whatever you ask. But the only way that we can ask according to the will of God is to have a heart that is in union with him, a heart that is abiding with him. How many have any of you ever noticed that maybe, you know, you're learning how to pray, or maybe you were early in your prayer life, and have you ever noticed that the more time you spent with the Lord, the easier it was to pray, the easier it was to ask of things? And those things typically weren't just self-centered or self-focused. They really were more about the church at large and the church of the all around the world, that there was this greater call, this greater assignment that the Lord was giving you in your prayer life. You see, when we are abiding with the Lord, we know how to ask according to his will. And so God wants us to ask of him. Yes, the Lord wants us to ask the things that we have need of, right? So if you have need of more income, ask the Lord that he would continue to provide. If you have need of health, ask the Lord for healing. How many of you know scripture says he already knows what you need, but you should still ask, amen? Scripture says you have not because you ask not. Sometimes we confuse thinking with praying. We just think about the things that the Lord needs to do or that we would want him to do, but we don't ever actually ask him to do those things. How many of you know there's a difference between thinking and praying, okay? We pray to the Father in Jesus' name, and we make our requests known to him with thanksgiving. And so, but God, yes, we should ask of the Lord. Yes, there are things that we need, but listen, there is something dynamic that happens when we ask of God that is birthed out of union with him. Okay? Let me give you, for instance, on Wednesdays, we do something called worship and prayer. And there is no agenda for that time other than worship and prayer. Okay? Like, there's not really bullets. We do seek the Lord, and we get some scriptures of things that people can be praying. But when you are in the presence of God, when you are in that environment, all of a sudden you start to recognize things, and the Holy Spirit starts to speak things to you and gives you glimpses of things that need to be prayed out, things that need to be called out, things that need to be spoken towards, okay? You guys know what I'm talking about? There's this different understanding, and it's not just what you came in with. No, it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. It's that abiding and that union with Him, and out of that, we know how to pray according to His will. And so in the presence, when the Word is abiding in me, and I'm abiding in Him, we ask for the right things. And when we ask for the right things, guess what? He does it. He does it. He answers our prayer. And so this is very important when we talk about something seeming right to the Spirit and to us. I actually believe this is something that we need to learn as a church family. Some of us have experienced this. But I believe that this is something that the Lord is wanting us to engage in, to unlock, and that when we would come into His presence, that we would ask, Lord, what do you want to do? And that as He reveals those things to us, that we would say, Lord, I pray, I believe, that we would come together and pray and believe together. How many of you know there is power when we pray according to the will of God? Amen. So when we pray, it's not just, okay, let's treat Him like a genie in a bottle, okay? Or like sometimes we like to have Jesus in our back pocket, and then we're in a tough situation, we're like, Jesus, can you help me out, right? The Lord will help you in His grace and mercy, but there's so much more than that, amen? Yeah. That we would be in union with Him and pray out of that. So what is the Spirit saying right now to us? What is He saying right now, and how can I partner and pray in agreement with that? Everybody say, the Holy Spirit,
wants to speak to me,
and He wants to speak to us. Amen. Listen to Romans 5, verse 5. It says, now hope, everybody say hope.
Hope.
How many of you know hope is an important thing? It says, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. Say, in our hearts. By the Holy Spirit. You can say it. Who was given to us. Yeah, let's just finish it. Notice this. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. In other words, the love of God is available. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I pray that every person here would know the love of God. If you don't know the love of God, you won't know how to hear God, because you won't be confident that He actually wants to speak to you. It says the love of God has been poured into our hearts, meaning it is He is inside. It is inside of us by the Holy Spirit. Not only is the love of God available, God wants to give His love away. And He wants to put His love so close that it would be in your heart. He wants to be so close that it would be inside. And I'm not talking about the physical heart, of course. I'm talking about the inner person on the inside, that you would know the love of God on the inside. Therefore, if you have a love issue, which by default means you have an intimacy issue with the Lord, if you have a difficult time being in His presence, there is usually an issue of you receiving His love. And I would encourage you, learn how to let Jesus love you. Don't run away from the love of Jesus. Let Jesus love you. Tell the person next to you, let Jesus love you. Tell that person, let Jesus love you. I'm serious now. If there is a love issue, there's an intimacy issue, but really, there's a Holy Spirit issue. That you actually aren't making room for the Spirit appropriately, because the way that we recognize the love of God is by the move of the Spirit. It's when the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to His love, opens our eyes to His goodness. And therefore, we need to know the love of God, but the good news is the Holy Spirit has already been given. The Holy Spirit has already been poured out. And if you're born again, your heart has been filled with the love of God in the person of the Holy Spirit. And so how do we experience that love? How do we experience the love of God? By experiencing the Spirit who is inside of you. So how do we grow in that love? Number one, to grow in the love of God, number one, it's very simple. Give him your attention. It's astonishing to me how many times, and I know there's things that we're all carrying. Does anybody have some issues in their day-to-day life? Yes, we all have stuff that we got to take care of. We have a pastor raising his hand really high, okay? Hopefully it's not with me, okay? But there's just stuff. And I know that we all come in with stuff, and I know that there's distracting things. I know there's mistakes that you've made. But listen, when you come into the presence of the Lord, especially in times like this where everyone is welcoming him, it is such a monstrous momentum and an opportunity to be in his presence and to simply give him your attention. Because the first step to receiving the love of God is to give him your attention. Saying, God, I'm putting it all aside, all the baggage, all the drama, all the stuff. Lord, I'm laying it down at your feet and I'm looking to you. You want to know the love of God. Number one, give him attention. But number two, respond to the awareness of him through worship and adoration. You want to know the great love of the Lord, of the Holy Spirit, then begin to worship him. Worship does not mean just sitting in the room. Worship is not an idol. The Bible is very clear on how we are to worship. We're to worship in spirit and in truth. But the Bible says, sing to the Lord a new song. It says, lift your hands in the sanctuary. It says, bless his name. The only way to actually worship the Lord is to open your mouth. Open your mouth and begin to worship and say, God, you're so good to me. There's times where I go, listen, the best worship usually for me is when I don't know the words to the song. Because sometimes when I know the words to the song, I'm just in the song and I'm going through the song. But when I don't know the song, I just start saying my own stuff. I'm like, God, you're so good. You're so faithful. And then I'll hear something in the song, I'm like, oh yeah, that's true. Like, God, you're powerful. You're like, thank you for your love, right? You start echoing from your heart worship to the Lord. Does that make sense? So listen, we don't need lyrics. I mean, we make lyrics because we don't want you guys to feel disconnected. We want everybody to worship together and all these things. But listen, if we have some malfunction and the TV screens don't work, does that mean we can't worship the Lord? No. It means no. Now my heart is just going to be fully fixed on him. Listen, your worship to the Lord is a choice. It's not a style. It's not about how many members we have up here singing. It's not about the quality of the music. Our worship to the Lord is a simple love where we give him our attention. And when we give him our attention, we're like, wait a minute. I feel like the Lord has something for me right here, right today. And so I'm going to worship the Lord. And as I worship to him, I'm opening myself. I'm opening myself up to him. And in his goodness, he pours himself out into us. Amen? Amen. Do we see that though? Mm-hmm. Like, do you really understand what I'm saying? It is never inappropriate to worship the Lord. That we would stand and just give him our attention. But it is inappropriate to be in the presence and to not worship. Got it? Okay, we're not going to go there too much. We want to know the love of the Spirit. Give him your attention. Respond to the awareness of him through adoration and love. Listen to Romans chapter 15, verse 30. It says, now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit. Notice, through the love of the Spirit. Say, the Holy Spirit is filled with love. Say, the Holy Spirit, is love. You want to love people more? Love Jesus more. You want to love Jesus more? Let Jesus love you more. The Holy Spirit is love, and the Holy Spirit is filled with love. Listen to 1 Corinthians 6:17. It says, but he who is joined to the Lord, notice, is one spirit with him. Can we just think of the love? The love of God, that his spirit is one with our spirit. That if you are born again and you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, listen, your spirit before knowing him was dead on the inside. Scripture says when sin entered the world, it was muth muth, which means it die. You were not just dying physically, you were dying spiritually. You were dead. And so before you knew Jesus on the inside, you were dead. There was nothing happening. There was this emptiness, this void. But when his spirit, when you gave your life to the Lord, it says you are, his spirit comes on the inside of you, and now your spirit becomes one with his spirit. Somebody say amen. Amen. You know, it's like if you were to take two bottles of water, right? And they're like half full, and one is your dead spirit and one is the spirit of God, and you pour them in, right? And that new container is your life in Christ Jesus. You cannot tell the difference. You can't even see the difference between your spirit and his spirit. That's how close it is. When you give your life to Jesus, your spirit becomes one with him. That word joined is in the context. It is marital language. It is marriage language. I think sometimes what we don't recognize is that when you give your life to the Lord, you didn't just convert religion. You didn't just gain the title of Christian. No, in the spirit, the Lord literally took a ring of the spirit and put it on your finger as a seal of the covenant that you and me are now one. We're together. There is going to be a wedding. There is going to be a marriage. A wedding is coming where the two will become one, and that is what this joining is. It is a joining together, like the joining of a husband and a wife, where scripture says the two shall become what? One flesh. In the same way, when we give our life to the Lord, his spirit comes in and is joined together with our spirit, and we become one spirit. Is this good? He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. This is marital language, which is love language. How many of you know the love of the Spirit is powerful? And so Paul is writing, when you join yourself to the Lord, you become one spirit with him. In other words, the love of the Spirit is so great. The love of the Spirit is so great that he literally becomes one with your spirit. You can't get any closer to God than that. Amen? All right, how many of you are thankful for what the Lord has done? For the love of the Spirit. That he has not just poured himself out. That he's not just a presence in the room. But he is literally someone who lives inside of you. That's why scripture says it's not by might, it's not by power, it is by my spirit. Meaning you can't earn your place through natural behavior. You can't earn your place by being just a good human. No, you can only earn your place with me by becoming one with me. Zach, you can come in. I wanted to close with this, and this is something the Lord just dropped in my heart as I was having a conversation with someone. How many of you remember where scripture says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? Now we hear that scripture, and when I was young, I was confused. I was like, wait, so we're supposed to be scared of God? I don't really get this. Fear of the Lord is not to be scared of God. It's not to be afraid of him, but it's to have an awe and a reverence of him. When you have a fear of your parents, you understand what they say goes. Does that make sense? Like, I'm going to do what they say because there is this honor or fear that not only, number one, do they know what's best, but they actually get to have the say, okay? But scripture says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Why? You know, I think sometimes we can read scripture. And number one, if we don't believe that the whole Bible is true, we can't really believe that any of the Bible is true. You either believe all of it or just forget it. But scripture says that the word of God is the very breath of God. And it's the breath of God that holds all things together. Meaning there are things, when you look at creation and you look around, you can see molecules even. You can see some of the physics of this world. But literally scripture says all things are held together by his word. He spoke the world into existence with his word. He holds it together with his word. His word is powerful. And so when scripture says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, what does that mean? It means that whatever he says in here is what goes, even if I don't fully understand it. Does that make sense? There are things that you will be questioning. There are things that you may have come in as questions with. Why is it important for me to go to church? Why is it important for me to not just give myself away physically, but to save myself from marriage? Why is it important for me not to get drunk like everybody else, but to be filled with the Spirit, right? It says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Why is it important? I don't fully understand it, but I need to trust because I fear the Lord. I'm going to just do what he says and trust that when I do that, he has the very best for me in mind. Just like any loving parent who loves their children, they're going to give them direction, and the child may not fully understand the truth of that. But if we can trust that, and we trust that God loves us, that we can trust that that he's speaking to us through his word by his Spirit, then we can live in a way that honors him. Somebody say amen. And because we honor him, just listen, he honors us. Do we actually believe that the Holy Spirit, the love of the Spirit, actually wants the very best for you? That God didn't just give us a bunch of rules because he's not fun. No, he's trying to save your soul. He's trying to save your life. And the Lord is doing a work in the church, and he's doing a work in his people where there cannot be compromise in your life anymore. Jesus said, I wish that you were either cold or you were hot, because if you are lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. Meaning you can't do this walk. You can't do this abiding half in and half out. You're either all in, or you might as well just be out. And there's a call that the Lord is saying is, will you trust me? Will you trust the love that I have for you so much that even if you don't understand everything, you're going to just follow me the best that you know how? And even if it doesn't make sense, even if I can find friends who would disagree, even if I can find other churches that would even disagree, listen, what he said is truth. Say amen. His word is what we can build our life upon. Amen. And in his love, when you spend time in his word, listen, you'll be reading through. And as you're reading through, you don't understand everything. That's okay. But then you come across a scripture, and it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. All of a sudden, something jumps out at you. How many of you know that is very oftentimes the Spirit speaking? And I just like to sit there. When the Holy Spirit highlights something to me, I like to go through that verse. I'm like, okay, I got to read that again. And then I begin to personalize it. For God so loved me that he gave Jesus to die on a cross so that I could be with him forever. How many of you know that's the love of the Spirit? The love of the Spirit is God saying, I want you to know me. And I want you to know me so well that I'm not just going to be in some far off place. but I'm going to put my spirit inside of you. And because my spirit is inside of you, when you come and you receive my truth, I'm going to teach you who I am. I'm going to reveal my heart to you, that I really do want the best for you, that I really do have a good plan for your life. But the question is will you trust me? Will you do what I say? Because a life of compromise will limit the Holy Spirit in your life. A life of saying, well, I'll just do that tomorrow. A life of procrastination of the things of God. Listen, we can procrastinate a lot of things, but may we never procrastinate the things of the Lord. May we never hold back from him what he is worthy of. How many of you know if the devil can't make you a Judas that would lie and betray, he will satisfy him for a Martha who just gets busy with stuff? How many of you know the devil will negotiate with you? I may not be able to get them to sin, but I can just keep them busy. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, to get you out of the things of God, to get you to compromise in life, to compromise in decisions, to say, well, I love God, but I'm not going to actually do everything that he says. Don't limit the Spirit. Don't limit the love of the Spirit. You must know the only way that you can make it through this life is to know how high, how wide, and how deep the love of God is for you. If you aren't convinced of that, you are susceptible to be taken advantage of, because you will take your eyes off of him. Is this okay? Can we just stand? Let me pray this over you. I'm gonna ask that we close our eyes, that you would just maybe lift your hands to the Lord in just a receiving fashion. And just repeat this after me. Say, Holy Spirit, do a work of love in my heart. Say, Holy Spirit, fill the dry places. Bring healing to the hurt. That I wouldn't resist you anymore. But that as you fill me, I would find satisfaction, because in you is complete satisfaction. Say, Holy Spirit, come, fill me with your love. Let it overflow, that I would know how great and how deep your love for me is. I yield my life to you. And I thank you, because I've given my life to you. We are now one. And in you is life. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Now let me pray over you. Just right now, if you have your spiritual language, begin to pray in the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Father, we thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you that we don't have to go a day without it. But Lord, we can get so calloused by this world, to the point where we can even deny that what we ever experienced was real in the first place. Lord, may we never come to that. May we never know what life is like without your Spirit, because we are so in union and so tethered to you. Lord, that we would be people who abide with you, who spend time in your presence, who spend time in your word, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord, that if we come to your word, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to us, Lord.
that we would know your heart. Lord, that you would stir up a hunger in your people, that you would stir up a fire, Lord Jesus. Lord, that we would not settle anymore, that we would not withhold or say, well, if God wants to do something, he'll do it, but I'm just in autopilot until then. Lord, we repent of that wickedness in our heart that would say you need to make the first move when you already did. You've already done enough. And so, Lord, we choose now to walk in your love. We choose now, Lord, to give you our attention. We choose, Lord, to be people who worship and adore you for who you are, because you are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. So do a work of love in us, Lord Jesus. Stir up a hunger, Lord. Lord, may we never be satisfied with the things of this world, but Lord, that we would only find our satisfaction in you and in you alone. Holy Spirit, come. You are welcome here. We give you thanks. We give you praise in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord is good. We thank him for his word this morning. If you are here, I'm going to invite the prayer team to come up, and we're going to have a team of people that are just going to be praying, available to pray with you after service. If you are here and you have not given your, let's just wait till we move. Just 1 second. If you are here and you have not given your life to the Lord, don't leave this place without making that decision. Scripture says, seek the Lord while he may be found. There may not be another moment where your heart will be in a place to receive the Lord. Do not wait. If you would like to give your life to the Lord, we'll have our prayer team. They can lead you into that. If you need prayer for healing, if you need prayer just for day-to-day life, whatever it is, we would love to pray for you. Because we know the Lord hears our prayers and he answers prayer. Amen. The Lord is good. Hey, we love you guys. We want to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers. If you did not already get your gift, make sure to grab your gift on the way out. We put a lot of thought into that, so I get what my wife means when she says it's really hard to buy gifts for you. I get what it is, because I'm like, I don't know what to get fathers really, but we got stuff, so be sure to get your gift. But we love you guys. We'll see you next Sunday, 10 o'clock. Again, if you need prayer, come on out. We would love to pray for you. God bless you. You're dismissed.